hymn 55. So before the exhortation, we will sing hymn number 225. We come, O God, to bow before thy throne, to pay our solemn vow through thy dear Son. He is our high priest there, to incense faithful prayer. Hear, gracious Father, hear his Spirit's groan. Hymn 225.
for everyone, young and old. Where there is so much distraction, we must be on our guard at all times. A few days ago in Matthew 11, where we read words of Jesus, again in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labour, and I will give you rest." Well-known words. And there are two aspects of this rest. One, by our life in the truth, we find rest in full assurance of hope. And by study of God's word, we can find rest. And two, in the hope it offers. The world out there is in turmoil and in many ways perverted. The path they are walking is wide and leads to destruction. You only have to listen to a few conversations of those of whom we work with or observe the lives of those to whom we may come in contact on a daily basis, to realise how utterly worthless are the lives of these people, who think that they can do anything they want to without any regard for the things of God. We know what the Bible says about such people, don't we? They will perish. And in this chapter 11, and verse 15, again, we have Jesus' words, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Hear and understand. Jesus, in this chapter, after warning those cities wherein the works of God were displayed because of their disregard for his word, foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. And in verse 24 it says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." That key verse again in verse 15. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." These words are echoed in the Revelation, which we won't turn to now, but "To him that overcometh, to him that hears and obeys, will I give to eat of the tree of life." And so, hear the word of God. Through Jesus, we come to learn of that rest for the people of God. Verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Apostle Paul picks up on the theme of this rest, as we shall look at later, but we have seen the necessity of obedience, have we not, by the putting on of baptism. We know that any who ignore the gospel will be punished. It is for those who have ears to hear. The truth is for those who are willing to search the scriptures. That is why we see the need to study and be prepared. Those wise in the world would not want to take it upon themselves to read God's word. They would feel it was beneath them to honour God and obey. But baptism is the first act of obedience upon hearing the gospel after instruction. And a newborn babe in Christ is dependent on the nurture of the Word of God. Through this nurture of the Word brings with it a rest, waiting for the glorious rest of the kingdom of God. How true it is that we sing, "We each have laid the world with all its cares and burdens down." By putting our faith and trust in God, in the God of Israel who has called us to great and wonderful things, we can truly rest in full assurance of that day to come very soon. And Jesus says, "Take no thought for the morrow, by worrying endlessly about what to do tomorrow or the day after. But we must live each day to the best of our ability, one day at a time." This rest, then, is a great theme of the Gospel. And if we turn back to Genesis, we know right back in the beginning, after the creation, God rested, or the Elohim rested from their labour, not through tiredness, but because it was a completion of the work of creation. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." The Sabbath of rest. Now, through our baptism into Jesus, we have become part of that new creation of God, of whom Jesus is the beginning. And we know from Hebrews he is described as the author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the ending. So the man or woman who comes to Christ through baptism will find rest and peace in many ways, both now and in the life to come, God willing. Although at times work in the truth is tiresome, it is not meant to be easy. Hard labour is necessary to produce fruit. And thinking while we were in Genesis, Adam was told that in the sweat of thy face he was to till the ground to produce fruit. And if we can endure and remain steadfast, firm unto the end, then there is laid up a crown of righteousness, as we read from the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to Timothy, where we read of the man of God. Well-known words that we use in lectures. Genesis, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works." Not until the creation was completed did God rest from his labour. And so with the new creation of the future age, which will reveal the true sabbatical rest. We labour then not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, for that crown of life that we read of there in Timothy. This is for those who are interested in honouring God, as we are this morning. Paul says in chapter 4, before he died, verse 6, wonderful words of the apostle, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." He knew what was laid up in store for those who put their faith and trust in the God of Israel. God is the one that can save us from this wicked world. If we are found faithful and doing what is required of us, we know, and the Apostle Paul knew, that this would be in the future. Not as many of the so-called Christians would have us believe, that when we die, we go to heaven. This is the day that we long for, when Jesus returns. And Paul also presses the same point in verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." It is clear enough, isn't it? We have the return of Jesus, the resurrection, the judgments, the establishment of his kingdom, all in that verse 1. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And so today, as we realise the nearness of his coming, we must be ready and waiting and guard against the pleasures of this life. For we have a more sure word of prophecy in the word of God. And this is where we place our hope, in God's word and in his Son. And so then, if we turn to Hebrews, we shall read of this rest again. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Who is he speaking to here? In chapter 3, it talks about the children of Israel not being able to enter into God's rest, and ultimately into the land of promise. Only a few went in, as we know. And he speaks to us too, us of the household of faith. For we are to enter into our rest also. We are in the 6,000th year of God's 7,000 year plan. And very soon, Jesus will be here. And so Paul is warning them to take heed, and to us also, to exhort one another while we have the time. And Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts and have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The gospel, as we have mentioned, is the key. This was preached to those fathers of old. But as we know, to the third and fourth generation, those under Joshua, and on that occasion the land spied out was in connection with God's rest into the land of promise. But they could not enter in because of unbelief. And in verse 8 we read, as they could not, those under Joshua, the faithful, sorry, I've got the wrong verse there. In verse 8, sorry, of chapter 4, yes. For if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, they would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There is a contrast between Joshua and Jesus, and the apostle draws our attention to it in verse 14, where Jesus is spoken of as the greater because he can give us an eternal inheritance, that eternal rest. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are constantly reminded here in these chapters to hold fast, and let us hold fast, let us labour therefore to enter into that rest. Let us fear, let us. And the apostle refers to Psalm 95 by way of citation from Hebrews, illustrating the future aspects of the rest. And it's interesting to look at that psalm in a similar way. This psalm in 95. This psalm was penned with the words, let us, which the apostle evidently picked up on. Psalm 95 and verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice. There is the citation from Hebrews. And verse 10, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. As the apostle remarked, that if Joshua had given Israel rest, God would not have afterwards spoken of another day, and concludes that there remaineth a Sabbath of rest for the people of God, as we see from Hebrews 4. Turn with me to Psalm 132. Again, we have the promise brought to us through the psalmist. Psalm 132 and verse 8. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. Glorious prospects of the future. And the promise to David, verse 11. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body I will set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne for evermore. Verse 14, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. This is the glorious rest that we long for, that has been put within our grasp. And it is a unique opportunity that we have each been given. And so, while we rest in our mortal state, we look for the eternal rest of the kingdom, which we know will shortly come. Turn with me back to Hebrews chapter 4 again. And verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so Christ's glorious rest is only to be reached after much struggling, much tribulation to enter into that rest, as we read from Revelation. When those faithful servants are judged and accepted, and we shall, God willing, be able to enter into that rest and to assist Jesus in bringing about the nations who oppose him. So before we partake of these emblems on the table, and we think of the path that we are walking, as we mentioned at the beginning, to rest in full assurance of faith. And like any walk, we need to rest, for we are frail in this life. But we rest and we find nourishment in the word of life. And now we have rested and fed on the word, which should have given us strength, let us continue on our walk, steadfast and firm, unto the end, with the hope of that glorious rest that remaineth for the people of God. For the God of Israel has appointed a day in which he will favour Zion. There is a set time, and may we be ready to enter in with him to that glorious rest for eternity. And join with the Apostle Paul when he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day.
The second verse says, till thou come, we will remember thine agony. Of thy body every member suffers with thee. But the glory that shall follow on that glad long looked for morrow, merging from the night of sorrow, revealed shall be. Hymn 259.